All right. A 2020 survey found that 94% of American men had viewed pornography at least once in their lives. Among men aged 18 to 30, nearly 80% reported watching pornography regularly, and 30% view it daily. Now, some contend that pornography is harmless, but is that true? Today's pornography is not static magazines, but it's online, digital, and it is in video form. Often, it's violent. You're tuned in to The Commonwealth Matters, and I'm your host, Richard Nelson. Joining us to talk about the effects of pornography on our culture and on pastors and church members is Pastor Randall Record. He's currently at Hurricane Baptist Church in Trigg County, and his latest book is called Fix Your Eyes, Fix Your Church. Randall, welcome to The Commonwealth Matters.
Thanks, Rich.
Hey, need to get this out there, but you are pastoring a church that is near and dear to my heart. Trigg County is my old stomping grounds. Got a lot of friends in Trigg County, so hopefully you will repost this and share this interview with our mutual Trigg County friends.
Beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful people, beautiful county. And I'm excited to have you on the program. We discovered your book and your ministry through Kentucky Today, another mutual friend of ours and ally. And I wanted you to come in and talk about this issue that is often neglected. And quite frankly, it seems that there is fear or reluctance in the church to talk about this, the gorilla in the room. Right, the 800-pound gorilla that we don't want to talk about, and its pornography use and its prevalence in our society. And in this digital age where we have everything at our fingertips, we can get on the internet, we can do a Google search, and pornography is wherever you turn. And we're not protected from it as individuals unless we have some kind of blocking software. Our children are not, for the most part, protected from it, which we'll talk about. One positive thing that Kentucky did last legislative session. But Randall, I'd like to share a quote. When you were interviewed by Kentucky Today, you approached this issue from your background in law enforcement. You served in Jefferson County as a police officer and with the sheriff's department. But you've also served in ministry for some 40 years. So you have two backgrounds where you've seen this issue of pornography use intersect. This is what you say in Kentucky Today regarding your law enforcement background. The people we had to arrest, somewhere, somehow, we would find porn in their life. It was either in their house or it would come out in court. And while as a pastor, I was meeting guys at 5 o'clock in the morning because there were church members struggling with the same thing. So here you have criminals on one hand and church members on the other hand. Both are struggling with pornography use. How can that be? First of all, you were in two different roles as a pastor and then as a law enforcement, and you see this common denominator where people in the church, at least there's this perception that they've got it together, that they're not going to be involved with pornography, but you were discovering something different, weren't you?
Right. Richard, God just put me in a place at that time where I was kind of not living a double life, but, you know, the pastor and the police officer really has the same job. One, you have a Glock and a taser. The other, you have a Bible. And the Bible is more powerful than anything. And seeing this at hand, I worked as a reserve officer and seeing it on the weekends and then going to church and seeing what guys were struggling with was the same thing that the people that we had to arrest. It just, like I always say, when the private becomes public, some people just reach that quicker than others. And we were finding out that, you know, this pornography, this screen addiction, is just prevalent across all of our culture. And the guys who went to jail, just it seemed like that the pornography caught up with them quicker and made them act out. Because Jesus said, you know, in Luke 11, that the eyes are the eyes are the window of the soul. And if you watch bad things, your body would be full of darkness. And you see that acted out. But simultaneously on Sunday, I would go to church and a guy would say, "Hey man, can we meet?" And often when these men would say that, I knew exactly what was wrong because of my experiences. And plus, when you have your own phone and your own computer, you get links that go and pornographers are buying Christian domain names and making them as a portal into the regular porn site. So here we have this just drenching problem in our society.
So it's tapping into something, Randall, that men are very visual. We are sexual creatures. God made sexuality as part of who we are. We're made in the image of God. And sex is a good thing within the context of marriage. This is how God designed it. Now, you lose sex from outside of marriage in the form of pornography or prostitution or any other form of extramarital sexual activity. It doesn't end well for people. And we live in a digital age where it, as I said, it's at our fingertips. As a pastor, when you're counseling men, what do they tell you? How do they get involved with it? What were some of the things? You just mentioned that there are misleading domain names. But is it is there something else? Are they introduced by a friend at a young age? Does it happen when they're teenagers or even younger than that? What are you learning about as a pastor?
There is no pattern. It's just prevalent all across our culture. Mm-hmm. So any pattern or any way, any path is fair game with technology. And we're just seeing what used to be static. Maybe our dad was involved in it, static magazines under the mattress. But today, they're sent by links. It really is by a click. So you just take that we all walk around with these phones in our pocket. It connects to this worldwide web, which is basically everything man's ever thought of dumped on servers all across our world that we can query using a search engine. And so why wouldn't it be easy? And I think when you talk about this sex thing, God meant us as men to have one naked picture in our brain, and that would have been our spouse. Because Ephesians 5 tells us that Jesus is Lord, the church is his bride, and that same metaphor is taken into marriage. The problem is I had an old Marine youth leader at the church I served in as student pastor. He said, "Randy, you know the problem with men today?" And I would say, "What's that?" And he would say, "We have too many naked pictures on our brain when there was only supposed to be one." So I just say to all the men, what if you just had one naked picture that you could remember? And that's your wife. And the purity of that is astounding.
And the idea behind that is that God wants us to be bound to our wives and fully committed to them and devoted to them. There's something that's coming up in Kentucky in June. It's called, and it's not just Kentucky, but it's across the country. It's Fidelity Month. And the idea is faithful to God, family, and country. Within the context of family, it's for men to be faithful to their wives, for wives to be faithful to their husbands as well. Randy, I want to speak for just a moment to those who are not believers. This is going out to a diverse audience here, and some might not believe what Scripture says about guarding our heart and guarding our mind and about the idea of monogamy, being married to your wife and devoted to her. But here's the effects of pornography. And by the way, definition of pornography is that these are illicit pictures that bring about a sexual response, and some kind of an erotic picture that's bringing about a sexual response. That's a kind of a crude definition for it. But here's what regular pornography consumption does. It resembles a behavioral disorder with various adverse effects. It impacts the brain reward center. It impacts intimacy with partners. By the way, there is a big problem with young people, young men, having erectile dysfunction today in their 20s, in their 30s. Why? Because they are addicted to pornography and they cannot be stimulated within the context of their marriage. It impacts overall satisfaction from sex. It can damage self-esteem and daily functioning. It also has a correlation to anxiety disorders, mood disorders, and substance abuse. So for those people and those young men who are saying pornography is harmless, I don't believe in the Bible, I'm going to just do my thing. Well, you look at what's happening with the effects of pornography on people across the spectrum today, and it is not a positive thing. Randy, I want to bring this back to you and your role as a pastor. So when you see men in the congregation struggling with pornography, and many of them have come to you to seek counsel, what are some of the things, in particular men? What does it do to men who have this real struggle and they want to be released from it? How is this impacting them?
You know, the first thing it's going to impact is them personally. Yeah. Our brain was only made for that one picture. When we put a plethora of naked pictures in our brain is not made to hold that. Literally, David, King David, was way ahead of us. He says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I think he maybe saw the brain before we did and how his thought processes, if you read through Psalms, he struggled, but yet he knew there was something powerful working in his head. And listen, your brain works perfectly with the wrong information. There's no hidden filter. What you see that's bad is going to affect you, as well as we know our brain is made for one picture and made for the Word of God. And David said, man, your word is like honey. So these men, it'll affect them personally. And I call it in the book, Fix Your Eyes, Fix Your Church, the zombie effect. The first thing that happens, you can't do your job. Well, you're probably not being a good husband or a good dad. You have porn fog that affects your brain. The first thing that will really go practically is mathematical computations. People who fill their brain full of pornography can't do simple math. That just tells me it breaks down the design that God made our brain to work with, and it fills it with something. And so these men, with themselves first, and to your question, with their marriage, if they're married, if they're not married, you see behavior, whether they're married or not, you see behavior that is following from the private and becoming public. And when that happens and you can't control yourself because of what you've loaded a ton of pictures in your brain, it's going to come out through your hands and feet. So we must protect that, and that's what this work is all about.
Hi, my name is Richard Nelson, founder and executive director of the Commonwealth Policy Center. We're here to shore up the sanctity of human life, religious freedom, natural marriage, and sound fiscal policies. At the Commonwealth Matters, we have conversations with leading thinkers and policymakers to help us think biblically about the great issues of the day. If you appreciate our work, then please consider a donation today. This work is entirely supported by people just like you. Your gifts and tax-deductible contributions help to underwrite this program, and you help to get this important message out all across the Commonwealth. We believe that the Commonwealth of Kentucky is a great place to live, and we want to keep it that way for our families and our children. That's why we're standing for what's right, for what's good, and what's true right here in Kentucky. Thanks in advance for your support, and may God bless you. Randy, you said something important where the public will follow from what you're doing in private. There's a connection between your private habits and private behavior to your public results, if you will. And we live in a day and age where sexual assault is at an all-time high. Human trafficking is a reality today. You're seeing some of the biggest news stories right now are of celebrities who are on trial for sexual abuse. I think of the P. Diddy. You think of Harvey Weinstein, who's back in the news. Other major celebrities who are in trouble. Why? Because of what they've done in private. And it didn't just start out of the blue. It started somewhere, often with pornography. I want to go back to something I've observed in the church, and or something really I've heard, and I think it corresponds to what I'm seeing in the church. And that is that men who are involved with pornography in the church are less likely to take a vocal stand when it comes to social issues and moral issues. Why? Because they've been compromised morally or spiritually. And it doesn't mean there can't be restoration, but you're likely to remain on the sidelines or quiet if you have been morally compromised.
And I just want to add to that with the onslaught in the invention of the internet, and that happened really in the early 90s, we felt it at the 1999, 2000. Then you had this first smartphone to come out in 2007, the iPhone. Then Android a year after, in 2008. And so what we're seeing now is that all of this is just coming so quick, and the information is so available. Used to, we would have to ask authority figures to retrieve something that we wanted to read, go to a library, now it's in our pocket. You know, a Pornhub stat that is shocking. If you went to Pornhub and try to watch all the pornographic videos that are posted on that, it would take you 67 years watching every video consecutively. And that's one site. How many other sites? I mean, our Satan has had his way with this. Now, I don't think the internet's inherently evil or our devices. I think it's like the knowledge of the tree of, or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's some good things and some bad things. But even in that Genesis context, God wanted Adam and Eve to wait for him for those cool walks in the day. And we can have that through reading the Bible. And that's what I try to push these men to. You got to get into the Word, but also you got to do some practical things. You got to cut off that sin and the access to the sin. And listen, their wives love them when they come home and they're saying, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm getting this out of my life. And they take, there's not a wife that wouldn't love you.
And it's because the husband is showing devotion to her, faithfulness to her, fidelity to her. There's a Bible verse, Randall, that really comes to mind as we talk about what we put in our hearts and what we allow to influence our souls and what we're fixing our minds on. And that is that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if we think that that it's okay to be exposed to sexual images of other women who are not our wives, to be exposed to sexual behaviors, often violence. And by the way, that's what we're talking about with much of the new pornography. It is violent pornography. When we put those images in our minds, it desensitizes to us to the brutality. It normalizes something that should never be normalized. And we're seeing more and more of this come out. There was a story in the New York Times last year about a health educator speaking to a middle school. And she took talking about healthy sexual activity. It was not a Christian approach, by the way. She was talking about various aspects of sexuality, assuming that many of the students were going to be involved with it. She took questions. And during Q&A, some of the young girls were asking about choking. My boyfriend likes to choke me when we're having sex. And this was a revelation to this health educator, where what is viewed as what's happening today has been normalized because of violent pornography. Yes. That's where these young men were getting this idea.
Well, if you think about that very statement, with our generation of high schoolers, if you take even Generation Z, who was born somewhere in the late 99s to 2000, ever how that stuff generational ranges work. First generation to grow up with the internet. They don't know life without the internet. Now, what is it doing to our generations that are growing up on that? They are sexually hyperized, and they think it's okay. I was astonished reading a Christian publication that said 90% of Christian college students think that porn's all right, and it's an outlet just to, you know, entertain themselves. And then, as you said a while ago, if you take high-speed pornography and you take the onslaught of ED drugs that we see in an embarrassing way while you're trying to watch TV with your family. You see that now just so accepted with the blue pill and all of this. Did you know there were almost simultaneous inventions that hit our culture at the same time? One causes the other. And men cannot be the husbands and really the lovers to that one picture wife that they should have because they fill their mind full of pictures. And so they're confused.
There is this term that comes to mind, integration. And an integrated life is a whole life that's functioning well, that is doing the things that it should do. The opposite of that is disintegration, where you're falling apart. You're not functioning well. And pornography is part of a disintegrating life where you're putting images and ideas and behaviors into your mind that are no longer allowing you to be faithful to your wife, to focus on who you are as a human being made in the image of God, that helps you to keep your faculties together, to function in the highest possible way, in the way that honors God. And we see this disintegration. You mentioned some of the statistics a few minutes ago where even basic math skills aren't performed by somebody who's addicted to pornography. Randall, I want us to talk about a Barna Group report released back in November of 2024. And it was very disturbing related to the number of pastors and what's happening in our churches. Barna found that an overwhelming majority of pastors, 86%, feel that porn use is common among Christian pastors. And 2 in 3 U.S. pastors actually did respond to another survey. 67% reported having struggled with pornography at some point in their lives, with almost 1 in 5, 18%, saying that it's a current struggle. So we've got almost 20% of pastors today struggling with pornography use. Here's my question. How can a pastor get behind the pulpit and preach on Sunday mornings with integrity if he's just viewed pornography? We all know, by the way, I'll temper it with this, that we are fallen human beings. We struggle with sin, but hopefully sin does not have the upper hand on us. And it would appear to me that if you're addicted to pornography, if you're using it regularly, that sin has the upper hand on you. So what does it do to a pastor's moral authority if he's using pornography?
Well, I think it dampens the Holy Spirit. We know that. Ephesians tells us we shouldn't grieve the Holy Spirit. When you look at other pictures beside the one picture that God has granted you, which represents His church, your wife, it's got to dampen the spirit. It's got to dampen how we preach. It's got to dampen the effectiveness of how we preach. I think people know when, you know, our preaching is missing something. Now, granted be it, you can preach the word, it's powerful by itself. We don't need a personality. We don't need anything with the word of God to make it successful. But the spirit of the prophets, the spirit of the disciples, the spirit of Paul, and how he preached, what would they say to us? They would say, what you're doing is just cursed. It comes from a cursed being. So there's no way we can stay on because, you know, it becomes public, you know, sooner or later, because you begin to operate and that stuff begins to control your mind. Then whatever you do in private, you'll start to do in public. And we have seen that with pastors. And so, you know, our job is just to help pastors get out of it and to help them individually. And the amazing thing of how God made our brains is we may not forget some of those images And I tell a story about paint, you know, where, you know, you put one little drop of black paint in white paint, it takes a whole lot more white to turn it back to its original color. Mm-hmm. That's the way you got to soak yourself in the word. For pastors that are out there listening, mm-hmm. you got whatever pornography, if you can measure the minutes that you look at pornography, you got to read the word five times more. Mm-hmm. It may not ever cover it up, because the way God made our mind, we can pull up those images in our brain that we've seen in the past, like a theater in IMAX. And that's really what the brain does to a sexual image. It goes through our brains. When it gets to the occipital lobe, it supersizes. Why? Because God wanted just a supersized picture of your wife in your brain. You'd be thinking about her all day. The problem is we got too many naked pictures in our brain.
I think it comes down to, and wouldn't you agree, that it's our desire for God over these other desires that are pulling against our flesh. Do we desire God? Do we seek Him? Do we yearn for Him more than we do these fleshly desires, which in the right context are good? Sex is good. Marriage is good. But taken out of context, it's bad. I think of the passage, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So desire God, but hide His word in your heart. Feast on His word. His word is life-giving. Right. It is peace. It will bring joy. It will fill you in ways that sexual images, pornographic images could never fill you. Randall, what encouragement would you have? And we've just got less than a minute and a half here. For somebody that's addicted to pornography and wants to get out.
You know, being in law enforcement, a pastor, I studied the brain for over 10, 12 years. Mm-hmm. And one thing I've found is God has preciously spoken and made our bodies. So if you just go back to that original voice, if you go back to that, I think you can capture some joy. Mm-hmm. And one thing I'll say is go after the joy. Don't go after the cheap rewards.
Randall Record, thank you for joining us on the Commonwealth Matters, and may God bless you.